Now entering Nerdist.com.
Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Oh, here we are. Oh, my God.
It's so late.
It's 10 o'clock late. On a Monday.
And
we're
night.
Doing two.
Yeah. Hi. We love you. Hi, I'm Jackie Cation.
Not me. I resent you.
Do you? Laurie Kilmartin resents you. But me. Buy my products.
Sure. So, yeah. That's yeah. Anyway, it's a Jackie and Laurie show.
Here we are. It's
what
late.
We have a list of things to talk about.
Sure.
Right?
You got one?
No.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
Did you get to do sets this week? Whatever.
I did. Oh, okay. Sunday was sort of an interesting day. I had an afternoon show, I had a brunch show.
Okay.
Heather Pasternak.
Oh, right.
Zach. I forget his last name. Anyway,
Galifianakis. I always forget his last
Zac
name.
Zac Efron. They have a show. it's a show in Los Feliz, and it's in someone's backyard. And I was like, as soon as I said yes, and then when it came up, why am I doing this?
Yes.
So I get there, and I'm up last. Of course, I got there.
On time, a person. Yes, like a comic.
My dream is to pull up as I'm being announced, walk right on stage, do it, whatever I'm supposed to do, and then leave before the next comic's brought up.
That feels supportive. That feels good. When you show up and then you end up seeing a lot of really good comedy.
It's true. Everyone was funny. It was a really funny show. And I was on a hammock. I was watching the show on a hammock in the afternoon. It was pretty sweet.
All right.
So then I get up
Los Angeles, very pretty.
Yeah. So I'm up. There's like 25 people. You can monitor the responses of everybody. You know, and
sure.
You can see everything. And there's like a couch up on the hillside. And I'm like, are there any single parents here? And so a woman raises this dude's hand. And this dude's like heavily tattooed and stuff. And so we sort of go back and forth a little bit, you know. And I'm making him laugh. And it's like, cool. And the set goes on and blah, blah, blah. Finish fine. You know who that was?
Who was that?
Tommy Lee. Yeah.
That's a musician.
Yeah, from Motley Crue.
There we go. Oh,
And the kids he was talking about are ones he had with Pamela Anderson.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
and he considers himself a single parent.
No, he didn't participate. His whoever was sitting with him raised his hand for him,
right.
I didn't realize that's who it was.
Right.
So I was making skate park comments based on his appearance, not knowing I'm talking to a major rock star.
Right. A huge...
with a massive penis.
Oh my God. Oh, is that the rumor?
It's verified on tape.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's footage.
Breaking news to you from 1992? I'll do that. I don't care.
You are.
Bill Clinton was a president. Hillary had a husband that actually had that job.
I do. Oh, that's right. He was. That's right. He's going to be the first gentleman. Mike Kaplan.
Yeah. So I didn't say anything to him afterward. I was so glad I didn't know, because I would have been the whole time, because you could see everybody. I would have been like, is Tommy Lee laughing? But I noticed just from my monitoring the crowd as a normal comic, I'm like, I made Tommy Lee laugh.
That's awesome. That is amazing. It's no, and I just tonight on Twitter was made some crack about how the name of the last show, The Good Dank.
Yes,
he said that's a pot reference. I guess
I could see that.
I
smoke pot, but
I don't smoke pot either. But I said, why don't we? What do you want to ask me about prog rock too? Because I don't fucking know anything about that either. And so I got nothing for you. It's I don't know. Yes, that is a band.
A lot of times, if people reference something we say, it's like, oh, we taped this 2 weeks ago. I don't even know my name anymore.
Right.
I don't know.
I have moved on, and I have a whole new set of DNA, according to Deepak Chopra says that our skin cells are transferred every year all around the world. So everybody's everybody.
That's true. Then we all end up being Stardust. Okay, so then that's 1 p.m. So now I'm thinking we should all have afternoon sets, because that's a good warm up. Because then
is
I have like a couple hours between. I have a 7 p.m. set And I, you know, I just have time to myself and I'm thinking of jokes and I'm like, oh, let me change it. You know, it's
You're running.
You crack your brain open a little bit before your regular shows, you know?
Yep. I think well, I'll tell you something. Maria's been doing these 4 p.m. In that mall, the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Over in...
I don't know it. What?
It's on... Where's the clubhouse?
Like Los Feliz.
Is Los Feliz? Are you guys saying Los Feliz on purpose or is it
Am
Los
I supposed
Feliz?
To?
I thought it was Los Feliz.
Either way, it's pronounced wrong.
And either way, the Spanish are furious.
Yes.
Whatever's happening.
It's the least of our white crimes is mispronouncing Los Feliz. So she does a 4 p.m.
She's been doing a 4 p.m. one-hour show 5 days a week. For
that
a couple of weeks.
Is awesome. I love it. Okay, so then I have a 7 p.m. show. And I was annoyed by this show, so I'm not going to say anything like the club or anything. But it was a PG-rated show. I was told a couple times in an email. And I'm like, why am I on a PG?
Why am I doing this?
And I don't know. That is so vague. I don't know what it means. Okay, again, I can't say fuck. That's fine. I don't need to say. But do you mean tonally? Can I? Right. And then I start going through jokes. I'm like, I don't know what's PG-13 or not. And then
I don't know if anyone knows a 13-year-old, but they know more shit than I do.
Yes. But then I was up on stage, and like to me, like a really easy intro joke got a scowl. And then I was like, oh yeah, they're Christians. This audience is Christian. And then I started deleting jokes like mad. And and I was like, I only have 4 more minutes left.
Right.
You know,
how much time were you supposed to do?
15.
Okay.
It wasn't enjoyable is what
no.
I'm saying.
No.
When, you know, I don't want to, you know, if you're doing a TV set, that's a different thing. That's not stand-up comedy in a way. That's a television performance.
Right.
It's
you're
not
at
the
work
same as stand-up.
For
but
some reason.
A club set where you're talking to an audience. What are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out what sets I did last week because I'm like, I did a set
that
I didn't
enjoy. Dude, we have 2 hours. We can have downtime between my story where you can fucking look up your sets. Why are you multitasking on a 2-hour podcast?
No shit. I think you really summed
it
up there.
Slow it down.
Right. We got the rest of our lives ahead of us here. Okay.
I'm gonna be forensic detail on tags now.
Okay.
No, I don't like when we're... catering, like an audience is like, I've been told I'm getting this. Fuck you. You're at a comedy club. You'll get what I give you. That's my feeling. But not that show. So I was I felt all like hampered and straitjacketed.
You know why the caged bird sings? Because they were told to be PG-13. That's why they fucking blew themselves.
So then I was at, then I went to Uncab.
Okay.
Uncabaret.
Sure.
And so I told Beth, a while ago when she booked, I'm like, I have 4 new jokes since you booked me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I'm sorry.
You can hear them. You can hear those 4 new jokes.
I go, I'm going to bomb. And she goes, that's okay. So I'm like, so then I get there and Julia Sweeney's on the show.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, I'm not going to fucking bomb.
Right. No, you're going to bring it.
I bring it out. Yeah. Yeah. I'm bringing it all out.
Right.
And I did take a chunk that I'm working on. I tried to stretch it out a little bit and there were some silences and stuff. And I found jokes that I don't know are going to work again. They might be because there were silences.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was on autopilot, but I'm not going to fucking eat it.
No.
While Julia Sweeney's in the audience.
Right.
And
right.
She was laughing. I could hear her laughing.
Oh, good.
Julia Sweeney and Tommy Lee in one day.
You and in the same, that was the same fucking day?
Yes.
So you did afternoon set and then weird set where you were made uncomfortable.
And Christians in the same day.
And Christians. Yeah, I'm sorry. If you have some Christian group, you have to tell me. If this is some, you know.
It wasn't specific. No one ever, it's when no one says anything. You know, and that's when, like, when I don't have answers.
Use their words.
I fill in all the information and I start, it's just not pleasurable.
No.
You know, it's not why I did stand up so I could start taking out jokes because they might offend somebody. You know, I'll take a joke out because I'm sick of it or it's not working. That's why I want to take a joke out.
So what you're saying is you're available for corporates.
But corporates, you know ahead of time, you're getting paid a huge amount of money.
Right, you get paid to think really hard about your set.
I accept these terms. And
yes.
And we're real clear. It's not just be PG. It's like... you're paying me X thousand dollars. Okay, we'll go very specifically about what you're cool with and what you're not cool with.
Right.
I'll take the time to do that, you know. And this is just like a set on a Sunday where I got there and I had to all of a sudden
juggle it around and do all these weird things.
I felt like, why am I still doing this? You know,
well, because you want the stage time. I mean, I think that that's been established here on the Jackie and Laurie show.
Well, aren't you in a mood?
I am in a mood. There's nothing to be done about it. I'm super sleepy. It's I did an episode of The Dork Forest today, and then I edited three episodes. And so I am in the can for until almost the middle of August for The Dork Forest.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Then, that is good.
Do you ever take like a month off?
I've been doing it for 10 years. A couple of years in a row, I decided to take a month off. And then in the last 4 years, I have not. I don't understand. I may take this month. This might be it. This might be the month after where I'm like, no, it's great. Been great. You guys, re-listen. It'll be fun. Go deep into the vault and listen to the blog topic.
Yeah,
talk
people,
episodes. They'll figure it
all
out.
All those podcasters pick out their favorites, you know,
right,
they want to.
Right, and then there's and
off the mic.
And other people, they take breaks, you know? Will we take a break, Laurie Kilmartin, do you think? Will we
have
a hiatus?
Well, we don't want to lose the momentum of 29 female comics listening to us.
Right. 29 episodes, 29 hours in a row, you guys. What if somebody has a 30-hour drive? Then what? We're not there for them.
That's true.
So what did I did the American Legion show.
Yeah.
I did a show.
That's a fun show.
Have you done that one?
Yeah.
I had never done that one.
I mean, it could have gone another, you know what? There was a lot of feedback from the audience during the set.
Oh, they're chatty magoos.
Yes.
Yeah, they're certainly.
But they're nice.
They're super nice. They're nice.
And of course they fought in the Foreign Legion. So we have to honor their
service. We honor the fact that they've decided to belly up to that bar for some super cheap beers and call it. And so, I got there 15, 20 minutes before the show began.
Mm-hmm.
I was last.
Oh,
and
man.
So and there were some great comics on it, so it was fun.
Yeah.
But I just sat in the back, and luckily it's a really dark bar.
Yeah.
So you can sit in the back and you're sort of shielded. So if you're on your phone, you're not so obvious that.
Yeah,
you're distracting the comic
that
you're listening to.
Yeah.
And then I did like 20. They
That's
had me do
cool.
20. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And then the one I did, I haven't done a set. That might be the other reason I'm grumpy is I haven't done a set in two nights. So two or three nights. So, because I think it was Friday the last time I did a set.
Yeah.
And it was, I did Blast from the Past in Burbank comic book store for Jeff May.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've done that.
And Jamie Kaler was there and Sam J.
That's a fun one.
It's a very brightly lit room.
Sam J.
Sam J. is a black lesbian comic who is very
smart,
very
funny. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I had never heard of her, never met her. Do we think that's true? I think it's true, but God knows I can't remember my own left elbow.
I think I just met her recently.
Okay, well, she just did a thing for Esquire with Solomon Giorgio and Guy Branum and I think it was Rhea.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a gay, talking about being gay and being a comic.
Yeah.
And so I had just seen her interviewed by Esquire magazine. And then she did the show. She was really funny.
Yeah.
And Jamie Kaler had some interest. You know, he had some new stuff because I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. He's always great.
Yeah.
And Jeff May hosted. And other people were funny. And then I went over to and did Jones Coffee for Rachel Mack.
Yes,
and
I love
Silverberg.
That show. That show was so fun.
That show was on fire.
Yeah, they get a great audience.
Jeff had really great audience. They didn't get my Terrigen Mist joke. Very sad.
Well,
and I was at
a comic book store.
I know
that
nobody was more disappointed than this.
It's also very brightly lit.
It is. They should turn the lights down.
I don't know if they can. It's
right,
a comic. It might be all fluorescent.
It used to be a bank.
Yeah.
So.
but Jones is kind of dimly lit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it looks like. It's the only bad thing about it from a non-comedy standpoint is that the coffee shop is closed when you get there.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And they do give you get a free beer or wine or piece of pizza from the place next door. There's a window that you go up to.
I didn't get that.
No, interesting. But
maybe. But they don't want me eating pizza or drinking wine.
Right, I guess not. But it was right after the horrors, right? It was right after the horrors of the news this week.
Okay, right.
And there were, I got there, that one a little bit late. So there were at least three black comics on that one. And it was great. It was really cool because there was everybody was talking about it, around it, hilarious, and they were all funny.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And it was really, it was a guy named Mateen Stewart.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
I don't think so.
And James Neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Neighbors. Sorry about that. And a guy named Opie. And then Brent Weinbach went up and Olivia Grace.
Cool.
And Olivia Grace is working on, there's a lot of new, so Maria's been doing this, Bamford's been doing this new bit about how she used to hit on guys once a year. She'd go to a hotel and pick up a guy and get laid.
Really?
And, right. As and she was like, that is the definition of a sexual predator.
No, I was just thinking that's a great idea. I'm going to be at a hotel at Comic-Con all next week.
There you go. And she said she was sober. The guys were usually drunk. It was one and done. And she's working on this bit about it. Mm-hmm. I might be on the new album she just recorded. I don't know. But Olivia was working on something about how she is aggressively hitting on dudes. And I thought, you know, I haven't heard any guys. I don't know that it's possible for men to do a joke about, yeah, I'm a bit of a creep, you know? And so, cause it might be only women can talk about being a creep, predator.
Yeah, obviously.
Cause it's more it's unique. Not, it's not discussed.
And it's also,
more
it's like, you know, there's not going to be, an overpowering, you know,
right. It doesn't feel as violent, though. In both of those cases, you're just like, yeah, that does sound inappropriate. What the fuck are you doing? But they all have nice third beats on the jokes about not wanting to do it anymore.
I don't like how you're slamming these heroes who are having sex when they want it.
Right.
Sorry,
yes.
Mrs. Cation.
Exactly. And sure, we do it. The other exciting thing that happened was I went to do a very early set at the Improv Lab, but for some reason I found myself in Hollywood hours early, and so went to the Improv, just parked over at Fred Siegel, and then walked over. And Graham Elwood and Joe Wagner have a new podcast. It's called Pop Divas, and they play a pop diva song, like a Beyonce song, and then they analyze it for an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, so I it's all dark. They don't want to let me in. They're like, they're recording. And I was like, you didn't finish that with a podcast. And so in bed. And so, it warmed the cockles of my heart when Joe Wagner looked up from the recording and went, fuck, it's Cation.
I had a set at the Laugh Factory tonight.
Oh, did you?
On the way over here. Yeah.
Wow. How was it?
It was fun.
Where'd you park? Talk to me about parking.
I had to valet. It cost me $8 plus a $2 tip.
Fantastic. And did you get paid from the good people at the Laugh Factory?
You know, I think they do. They pay you checks and then I get them.
And they forget to send them to you.
Well, no, you're supposed to get them. And I usually, like, I just wait till they build up. They're like little checkettes.
Oh, and they're stacked somewhere and you have to go walk over and get them or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Are you on the list over there? Are you passed?
What list?
Are you?
I guess so. I mean, I don't get that many spots there, but I have had a few lately.
Oh, that's
so
interesting.
So I don't know what changed, you know?
I'm not going to rock the boat. Yeah.
And I'll just enjoy it while I have it.
Sure.
While I get my occasional Laugh Factory spot. It's
right.
A fun
How
room.
Was the audience? Yeah.
They were fine. They were fine. And then, you know, I
find them a little rowdy.
Yeah.
Were they rowdy?
They could be. They were
sunset.
Not rowdy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It was an all-female show.
Okay.
So it was sort of booked that way or marketed that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that affected the audience. And I don't know if people brought friends and stuff like that. But it was
Who
fun.
Doesn't want to watch a bunch of ladies doing
a lot
stand-up?
Of people. A lot of people don't want to watch a lot of ladies.
But the room was full?
It was foolish.
There you go. So those people
full,
wanted to see
but it's a Monday night.
So it is a Monday. I keep thinking it's Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch all of Jim Jefferies' special.
Oh, right. You're watching specials.
Not a lot. I just heard people talking about it, comics talking about it. I'm like,
okay.
All right, I should know.
Should you? I don't. I don't want to know. I can't
really?
Watch anybody's. I don't even want to watch my special. I've seen three episodes of Lady Dynamite.
Yeah.
I'm in the fourth episode.
That's where you stopped. I've watched like 8 or 9.
I want to watch them all, but yeah. and I would rather watch a sitcom than stand up on.
Right.
But I see so much. I mean, we see so much stand up.
I know.
There's the flattening of stand up through the television.
Yes.
That I would rather watch Jen Kirkman do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know who right. I will watch? Like, I'm not going to get to see her long set, so I would actually like to see that. So your 45-minute thing about your dad, I would love to see that. Netflix. but the it was because I'm not – you're not going to do it again.
Right, right.
So I would love to see – that would be a reason. I watched Stuart Lee's stand-up comedy because he's in fucking Britain.
Stuart Lee.
So I'm
funny.
Never – yeah, he's so great. And it's – but – Jim Jeffries, that guy's around. Fuck.
Do you run into him here in Los Angeles?
I did a show with them. The first time I did a show with him was probably 3 or 4 years ago. It was before. It was right when everybody was very excited.
Yeah.
And he's fine. I mean, the thing is I listened to that joke that you were talking about.
He opened with a chunk on Bill Cosby.
Right. I listened to the bootleg version of it.
Right.
So I didn't
want
to fire up my
money.
Netflix. Oh. And I was like, that's just Netflix.
Someone recorded it.
Right.
At like a gig.
Yeah. And so I got
illegal.
To see. Yeah. It seemed very illegal, but I got to hear the joke. And
yeah.
I don't think he's living check to check. And so it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So whatever. And it's also for free on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I liked the version of it that was on that. I don't know. Did you listen to both versions?
I listened to most of the one you sent me because it sounded like it was going to be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I thought the premise was very funny. The premise of
the
Jim Jeffries bit seemed to be to me was that he loved Bill Cosby as a child, and so he would have liked to have been raped by Bill Cosby.
Right.
If someone was going to rape him, that was his go-to.
Sure.
That's a great premise.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then it kind of meandered a bunch into weird, like, women being psyched about... You know, and then him doing like the pudding pop voice and the rape thing.
Yeah.
There was some of that that wasn't great for me, but I mean.
Yeah, I was trying to like analyze, because I watched it a couple times to try to analyze my response.
Okay.
Like, at first, like I was like, I liked a couple jokes and then he did an act out where he's like, he was being a Bill Cosby, fingers in the vagina.
Yeah.
And then I involuntarily crossed my legs and rolled up into a fetal position.
Right. You became like one of those tiny bugs.
It's not
rolls.
What it like.
Not enough punchline, a little too graphic. Or not a punchline at the end of it.
Right. Yeah. I was trying to, you know.
I get a physical. I mean, it's not my go-to, but I see why you do a physical act out. I mean, it can be fun.
But, like, I've never been raped, but I can definitely imagine what it would feel like. Mm-hmm. And it's so weird that he took that same thing and made, you know, was like...
This is a
good
thing.
Let's make it giggly.
Let's make it giggly.
You know,
I
couldn't make that jump on that joke.
Right. He didn't jump with him.
No. And then that sort of took me out of it for a little bit.
Right.
You know?
And then he did get me back with the sort of meta where he examined, you know, the reaction. I liked one line
a lot. I liked it. And what'd you like?
I liked the one line of... I actually do. This is a joke. I actually do not want to be raped.
Yes, that was funny.
That was funny. And if all of that joke were written out, by the way, not funny at all.
Well, he mentioned that like his shit doesn't read funny, and it, you know, that was funny too.
That was funny too. It was
and
a good call.
I forget when he did this joke, but when he did it, I was like in a. Kind of in a horror state, so the fact that it made me like he's like,
yeah,
Bill Cosby and I do the same thing, comedy.
Yeah.
But I was very in and out on that, and then the next bit, I haven't watched the whole special, but the next bit is fucking brilliant, and it's really funny, and it's about his kid and autism and vaccines, and then he says
all that vaccine thing,
he's been diagnosed on the spectrum, and I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I bet a lot of male comics that seem to be lacking empathy when they start talking about women are probably on the spectrum.
I don't think that's just men. I think no. I think there's a lot of women comics.
Yes, yes. I actually think that's probably true.
I think we're all a little bit on the spectrum.
But isn't it, like I've said this before, but this bit reminded me of this thought. It's not on him. Is there's like so many, there's some male comics that are fucking brilliant in certain areas.
Right.
You know, or they're brilliant, you know, and the thing he did with this, you know, the vaccine.
The gun thing. And
the gun thing. Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, and then when they get over to women, they become, you know, they go from A+ to C-.
Have you seen Maher's long set?
The same brain that just came up with this brilliant thing came up with that?
Right.
What? Like, it drives me nuts. And I don't know, are they really, do they really drop 20 IQ points when they're writing about women?
Yes.
Or is it the thing of, I can be bad boy, I'm not going to be politically correct in your face about all these things, you know, and then with women, like, oh no, that's not what I wanted to say. Like,
no, fair enough. Because it gets twisted up.
It's almost like that's the easy thing to, like, guys can all bond on fucking bitches.
Right, bitches, man. Right? What are you going
to
do?
And so that's the easy one to, that's the low-hanging fruit.
Right, right. They've written a beautiful, and this happens, I think, this is a common thing for all comics, I think, is that you write your first signature bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You write your first signature bit, you've written something that's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it might even be universal in the fact that, you know, whatever it is, it's bottled water or something, but you make it personal, you make it important,
and it
resonates with the audience, and it becomes a thing that people are like, oh, you should do that thing about the bottled water.
Right.
And you kind of fell into it, but then now you have a bar to rise to, or the audience does when they watch you.
Yeah.
So when they watch you do anything else, you have a toilet joke.
Right.
You have a stupid, my fucking husband, my stupid girlfriend. And it lowers the tone of the whole act.
Yeah.
And that is, so he's not alone in that. But I was going to tell you, because I opened for Bill Maher one time.
Yeah.
He always has women open for him. Did you know that?
Why?
I don't know. But it's just a thing that he always does.
That's cool.
It's possibly because it's his last 20 minutes of his set.
He's trying to offset.
He might be, because the first 55 minutes were great.
Yeah.
Clearly written by himself and other people about politics and other social.
Self and other people.
And socio-political, you know. But he has a team.
Right,
the
of
men's,
course.
Of course. Yeah. And then the last 20 minutes. And this was probably 5 or 6 years ago. I opened for him at Cobb's, and the big one.
Yeah.
And it was entirely about how nobody can make him get married. Women cannot make him get married. And you could see the audience shut down and go, who? Nobody is insisting you're an adult man?
No one wants to marry you.
No one wants to marry you.
You're awful looking.
Here's my favorite thing is I had worked the weekend with Ralphie May.
Yeah.
I was featuring, right?
Yeah.
So Ralphie May. Then the green room's upstairs at Cobb's. Sunday night is the Bill Maher gig.
Yeah.
And so I'm upstairs in the green room. They have brought in platters of crudité. You know, there's carrots.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, there's free cheese. And whatever is happening, right? I get upstairs, and I'm just kind of hanging out and standing there. He shows up with his people. There's a group of individuals. Whatever. Yeah. It's a bunch of fuckwits.
Yeah.
He's
it's his squad, Jackie.
Is that his squad? Is that his posse?
Yeah.
And whatever it is, it's painful. They're all just high and very, very working girl kind of situation looking.
Ew.
And so I introduce myself because I'm opening for him.
Yeah.
And I'm introducing him. So I'm like, hi, I'm Jackie. I'm Cation. I'm opening for you. And he goes, nice to meet you. And he looks, speaking of being on the spectrum, he looks over my shoulder. And he goes, are you going to need this room?
Oh, my God.
And I said, the green room? And he goes, yeah, I kind of need this room. And he's got 8 people with him. And I looked at him and said, I think there's a coat rack downstairs. I can hang out there if you want. And he goes, thank you so much.
Oh,
he didn't
my
even
God.
Hear me.
Wow.
Yeah. So all I'm ever looking for from the famous, distant politeness. That's all I'm looking for. It doesn't have to be, but you have to live in the moment, my friend. And so.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's.
But that last 20 minutes was just, it was dumb. It was genuinely bitches and women want your money. Women, you know, just sit on my cock and get away from me.
I don't understand how you can write very specifically about certain things and then you take this, go so general, so broad. Women are like, there's no women are. As soon as I hear someone say that, I pull out. I'm not interested in the sentence anymore because.
Are you using a condom? And thank you.
Oh my God.
I'm here all weekend, you guys.
Oh my God.
We're here for 2 hours.
I want to go home. That was awful.
It isn't fair. It isn't. Well, strike that from the record.
Now
file.
I know why Bill Maher. Now I know why Bill Maher wanted you out of his green room. Oh, you're the worst.
That's some classic riffing, you guys. That's a real classic.
It is classic. It's at least 50 years old. It is a classic.
Condoms were invented in the 1700s, you guys. Anyway, I'll be over here with other fun facts.
So
next.
I don't remember what I was saying. You derailed what it was probably
you said
a brilliant
you're
point.
Pulled out. You pull
oh,
out.
Oh, I
of
don't
the,
listen to yeah. the joke anymore because unless you're making fun of that structure,
yes.
then what are you saying?
Right. Right, you're not
just
saying anything.
You're making shit up.
You're making shit
your
up because all
is...
women aren't like that. Because
no, they're all not like anything.
Nobody's all like anything. You maroon.
But it's weird. It's just, you know, and this is not about him. This is like a larger thing that it made
Jim Jefferies or
yeah, it just reminded me about
Bill Maher,
a million comedians
yeah.
I've worked with where like if you say women, right? Mm-hmm. If you take that, you take out women and you put in African American or black, half of them wouldn't utter the sentence because they know, oh, that sounds racist.
Yeah.
That is racist.
Yeah.
But with they put women back in, they're like, it doesn't register as equal.
Right.
Like misogyny and racism aren't equal evils to a lot of people.
No.
And it's, sometimes I look at comics that are doing all the shit about women and I'm like, and there's women in the audience,
yep,
you know, and they're, so the women in the audience are going to beat the shit out of them after the show in the parking lot. So they're safe.
Yeah.
But would you say though equal jokes to a mixed race audience? I bet you fucking wouldn't because you'd be afraid to.
Well, and think about this is that whenever anybody writes a joke about someone in a wheelchair or someone who's blind or someone who's deaf and there's someone in the audience who has that disability, I know comics have actually said to me, I'm not going to do my wheelchair bit because there's a guy in the audience with a wheelchair. Well, you're a dick. If you can't do your wheelchair joke,
you should open with it.
You have to do that joke.
Yeah.
If you cannot do the joke about what is happening with a person, if that person isn't going to laugh at it, you've written a bad joke.
Yeah, it's not a good enough joke.
It's right. Yeah.
It's a B joke.
It's a
drop it.
Drop it. Keep writing. Never forget. Never surrender.
By the way, I have so many B jokes.
Right. Well, you're right.
My 45-minute set is 3 A's and 100 B's.
Well, and we're sitting on top of the mountain judging, right?
It feels good.
It's a podcast situation.
We're talking to no one
about
no one specifically, but 100 people.
Right, 100 people can't possibly. And it's like when I tagged Roseanne, who knew that she was going to actually be, you know, is Jim Jefferies going to listen to this? Is Bill Maher going to listen to this? Is Bill Maher's intern that he doesn't pay going to? No, I don't know. I don't know. Does he have such a thing? I don't know.
No idea.
Me neither. But I'm willing to risk it is what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to get to him. And I don't think why could he possibly care?
Why would he care what two old female comics think? Why would anyone care what two 50-year-old comics think?
Because we're hilarious and we're super cool.
Wow.
I don't know if you know
we're
this
both
about
available
us.
On a Monday night to do a podcast. Wow.
Two of them.
I know.
Don't hold yourself.
I'm looking at my notes now.
Yeah. Sure. Multitask. We have 2 hours.
Because there was a pause.
Yeah, there was a pause.
You were checking your notes while we were in a conversation. We went to a lull.
It's going
to
be the longest hour and a half. Where you were all
starting to shoot yourself in the foot about Bill Maher. I'm like, Jesus, aboard. Let's come up with another topic.
That's it. Why can't I make fun of the dead? Gary Shandling, always perfectly nice to me, by the way. Anyway, that's why, because dead people are nice to me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this strange? This is not... Okay, usually when I get a Lyft or an Uber, okay, I don't have them drop me off at my house. I drop off a couple houses down, and I wait for them to leave, and then I walk to my house.
Because you're actually an MI6.
What's an MI6?
It's the CIA of the Great Britain. I'm reading a James Bond book. Anyway, so
okay,
you're...
Because I don't want them to know
where
I
live.
You live.
Interesting.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, right there. If they could drive me into my bed and pour me into it, I'd be like, do you want to see my Star Wars sheets? Let's do this.
Okay. So I took a lift home from Burbank Airport.
Okay.
And when you to leave, the lift has to go into the parking garage, mm-hmm, and then they have to leave out through a gate or whatever, and it costs $3. And so the lift driver's like, I didn't know about this. And I live in Burbank. It's a very short ride. So I felt guilty. So I said, I'll tip you $3 and cover it. Because he's making $8.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I may have tipped $5.
Wow.
But it was really late. It was like 4th of July. And the guy was nice in the car. Yeah. So I was like, I felt I just had him drop me off in front of my house. Okay.
Yeah.
Which I never do.
Right.
Well, today, knock, knock, knock. Dude's there? He's at the house, yeah.
Oh, you are not incorrect. It turns out you were correct.
He's at the house, but he goes, it turns out Lyft reimbursed me the $3, so I wanted to give it back to you.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't a creep.
Maybe okay. We'll see.
Back in 2 more days to go, hey, did you want to have coffee?
Hey, listen.
Is he 27?
Why do you think they're... You're always like, oh, they want to have coffee. I'm like, no, he's going to rape me. And then I'll have my own Bill Cosby rape junk.
Wow. You've never been sexually assaulted.
Oh, well, my swim coach did some stuff, but it wasn't like a rape.
Okay. All right. So I have been attacked a couple of times. So, and then, yeah.
Fuck.
So disappointed. And disappointed in bad guys. Yeah. But me, remember, I used to drink a lot and wander,
Oh, that's right. You were asking for it.
I don't know if you know this about the Native Americans. Danielle Koenig used to do the greatest joke about how the Native Americans, we rape their land and we rape... rape and pillage.
Yeah.
And she said, but do you remember how they were dressed? And Danielle Koenig, ladies and gentlemen, did that joke in Minneapolis, the largest Native American population in the country, urban Native American. And she got a little guff for it. And but she was hosting. I was featuring Jimmy Pardo closing.
Yeah.
Hi, Jimmy. and Jimmy got so mad at the audience about it.
I love it.
And I was mad at the audience as well, because I was like, hey, jerkweeds, this is not...
Yeah, it's not about
that's a great
you.
Joke.
A
that
silly,
is nothing. It
a
is
a silly joke.
Get off your hot house
that's
flower.
That's so funny.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Well, I had a set at the West Side.
Okay. Yeah, the West Side thing in the alley.
Santa Monica.
The West Side thing.
Speaking of dark situation. No, it's actually such a great room.
And it is a great
room. It's an alley in Santa Monica. So
the
it could be safer. The safest alley in the world.
Right off the 3rd Street Promenade,
yeah.
You guys.
So I have decided that I'm going to try to keep reworking my rape thing.
Okay.
Rape
oh, the
joke.
Boy.
Yeah. And then, like, tonight at the Laugh Factory, I was like, let me just set the call back up a little bit better so it's clear I'm making fun of white people in the callback.
Right.
Because so many times I'm like, oh, the audience can't handle this joke that I wrote. Because I'm so...
Why?
I'm too...
You're
I'm
just too smart for the room,
I'm
man.
I'm too dark for them. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time is I just haven't written it properly.
Yes. That is a common error in stand-up comedy.
And I haven't set it up enough.
Yes.
And, you know, there's this compulsion...
You are never alone.
...to take away as many words as possible, right? You just want it to be as short... And you do want your jokes to be as short as possible. But
yeah.
Sometimes you take too much away, and the audience is like, why are you talking about that now? Like, wait a minute, you're just talking about your son. Yeah. Why is this happening? So anyway, so I was kind of playing around with that at the Laugh Factory tonight. And that
did it work? Something,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a little. I'm like, oh, if I, it's like an accordion, right? I'm like, pull this one out a little bit, yep. You know? Okay, all right. So now let me see if I pull that one out, how do I, you know, set this one up a little bit? Whatever. It's, you know what? It's minutia and yeah. Just polishing and polishing.
Nice work. I have to, yeah.
Okay, but at the West Side on Friday, I think, mm-hmm. I was doing Nicole Blaine. She has the Virgin show.
Yeah. Some lawyer or tell... Because who was it? What?
It was her daughter.
It was her daughter who wanted to try stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. And her daughter probably has some job where...
Yeah,
oh, she did
killed.
She?
Yeah. Her they daughter has do. A job. Her daughter's a lawyer. She's 8 years old and she's a lawyer. But you know.
Is she an 8-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But so anyway...
You worked that chunk there?
Yes. Okay, so... So in the front row, so I do, and I did a third call back too, and I'm like, I'm calling this back till it gets a laugh I want, motherfuckers. And so I got a decent enough laugh, but then this woman at front goes, it's never gonna.
Oh,
and then I'm
you.
Like, oh, it's on, bitch.
Yeah.
So we just kind of did a little back and forth.
Sure.
And, you know, and it ended up funny to the audience.
Oh, good.
Not to her. She was mad the entire time and sulked the entire time right up front.
So sad.
But it was
too bad.
But it was like, you know, when I start a set, you know, I'm like this. I know things were. It's one thing if you know if a joke isn't working, but it's not so much that it bombs. It when it doesn't work, it's screeching halt.
Oh,
you know, and it and but when it does work, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So. I keep each set, like, all right, am I willing to have this potential punch in the stomach, self-inflicted wound?
Right.
I can totally avoid it by not doing this joke.
Right.
You know, and right now I'm like, I'll take it.
Right.
You know?
Right. You're playing it because you're playing in your head with these short sets. You're always fast and loose with what jokes.
I
know
so
what jokes
short,
I want.
Too.
They're so short.
It's...
Yeah. I have to work on this big chunk. But I also have to keep tight this. I haven't done a set since Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely, you can hear frickin' Grumpy Magoo.
Yes.
But thank you. I'm so glad that you noticed. And because the last couple of days, I'm like, I don't need to do a set. I need to write a set. I lost the lineup for my album. I lost the set list, and I have it half written. But you know, like when you write a first draft, and you're like, if you lose that first draft, it's okay because then you write almost a 1.5 of the draft, and it's a good excuse to do that. So it's good. But I haven't been able to sit down and write the set list for some reason. I'm just too tired, and I'm in my own head, and so I would like the set list to be done.
God, I know. And, I know that feeling.
Yeah. But the...
Somebody crawl in my head, figure out what I mean, and put it on the wall.
Right. And it's more fun doing sets than writing set lists.
Yes.
It's so much more fun. I'd rather just...
Well, what do you mean you're writing a set? Well, like, I just make a little note to myself of stuff I want to work on, inserts, you know, into existing chunks. Or what you mean you're... Writing a whole 45-minute set list, like the name of every joke. What do you mean when you're writing set list?
Well, you know, I'm trying to like write the last 20 of the album.
So you're handwriting like the whole. Bit,
No. I'm not typing it out. I'm not typing out the jokes. I'm just bullet points.
Okay.
Like what the bits are.
Yeah.
So that I can work on that and make sure I don't forget any of the jokes.
Okay.
You know, because like I keep forgetting bits that are lines that are in the. And I wanted to try this new line that, because I don't have some of the jokes are so new. And when I say new, for me, a new joke is 3 to 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Where because my jokes are super long, and I got to tighten them up and ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of them don't have clear cut enough punchlines on the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been trying different ends on different punchlines, and then I haven't listened to my sets, so I haven't written them down. And
it's hard.
So there's so much, you know, when people say, well, you work 1 hour a night, And you're like, I want to bury you in the sand.
That's the fucking easy part is performing.
The greatest part of it is performing.
All the
transcribing and the admin and the sending out of veils. I sent out of veils last week.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I want to work those clubs again. You guys remember me?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I listen. Yeah, like at Uncab, Cabaret was, I don't know, you can just take space between the jokes, and that's where you find stuff. So that was great. But I don't feel
it,
like
I did it a couple of weeks ago. It was really nice because that audience is so giving and patient.
And most sets here in LA, I just feel like, you know, there isn't that.
I have nine
space
sets, by the way,
between jokes available
in New York in August.
Oh, that's great!
Already. I'm pretty psyched.
That's awesome.
And I haven't even hit the clubs yet.
That's
so
cool. Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. So,
but
I always feel it's got
New York
rapid fire.
Too.
It's rapid fire.
New York's no space at all.
There's no space at all.
I build every time I spend the time building up to New York. I'm like, am I getting in this weird cycle where LA is just to build up to New York? Is that going to be my life for 10 more years? I don't know exactly what I'm aiming for now, but except I do want to record another CD at some point if I have enough time to fill.
But oh, for sure.
I don't know.
What? Okay, so let's do Comic of the Week.
Oh,
Comic of the Week.
Okay, Eleanor Kerrigan.
Who is she?
You don't know Eleanor?
I don't know and Eleanor, if I do know you, my apologies. Please.
What a horrible way to start off Comic of the Week. Who is she?
Well, no, the thing is I trust your
yes, she's
implicitly.
Super funny.
Yeah.
She works out at the Comedy Store a lot.
Okay.
And she used to be a waitress there.
Okay.
And she does stand-up, and she's so funny.
I don't think I have met her.
She's from Philly.
Okay.
She's one of, I believe, 11 children. It's like one of those old-fashioned Irish Catholic families that used to exist all the time. And now it's only Eleanor Kerrigan, Jimmy Dore, and Neil and Kevin Brennan. They come from just an insane
like
amount
double
of
digits.
Siblings.
Yes, kids, yeah.
She's really funny. She opens for...
How do you spell her last name?
Kerrigan, K-E-R-R-I-G-I-N, like Nancy Kerrigan.
Okay, yeah.
The ice skater.
Right.
And she opens for Dice a lot on the road. So she can, like, she's got, you know, she has that stance where she can fucking handle a giant room.
Yeah.
And then I see her all the time at Tammy Joe's stuff and at the store where she's working more intimate settings.
Yeah.
She's very funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think she's chronically underrated, and I hope good things happen for her.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's get her in.
She's a super nice comic as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw.
Let's get her in. No.
Let's. Oh, get...
in this podcast?
No.
Okay, good.
Let's
I thought
get
you were
her
trying to get guests.
It's. Oh, do guests?
No, let's end this as quickly as possible. That's my goal. As
and
soon
a
as,
third person.
As we start, no.
What?
What?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We're not even at a fucking hour now.
Are we not? 47 minutes, you guys.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's do it. What was your first open mic? I was going to save it for the second episode.
Did we talk about this already?
God knows. What's your second open mic? Is that helpful?
There is this room in San Francisco in the Castro called the Rose and Thistle. And
it sounds like dancing.
They almost did. I went back there recently when I was walking around last time I was working the Punchline, which is a while ago, and it's like a nursery, you know.
Okay.
There's like plants all over the place. I'm like, fuck, so much happened here. It's so strange when comedy clubs turn into something else.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. Like the Walnut Creek Punchline, I think it was a gaming center after that, and then FUBARs.
David Buster's?
No, something smaller, shittier, and I don't know what it is now, and they may have, like, rearranged Walnut Creek so much where it's not, the building's not even there, and then FUBARs turned into a Chinese restaurant, and now it's a Christian church.
Oh, wow.
But it's so strange when you just, all the darkness and all the fun you had in those comedy clubs, and then they can just paint them over and turn them into something else.
Well, think about the good works that were done Wasn't Flappers like a TGI Fridays or something?
I think it was a macaroni.
It was a macaroni grill?
Yeah, yeah, one of those things.
So it can happen both ways,
that's
Lori.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, I'm inspired.
We can take back the night, is what I'm saying.
The Rose and Thistle was in the Castro, and it was at one point open 7 nights a week. Like, someone was like, fuck it, let's do stand up all the time.
That's awesome.
It was, I was there constantly.
Yeah.
And it was like late 80s. Gay San Francisco was in full bloom, and I was like, my eyes were plastered open as soon as I'm like, what's happening? There was just, it was the gayest of the gay being gay in the Castro, and it was mind blowing. I couldn't believe the
and
stuff.
That's
I
where
would
you
see.
Learned how to do stand up. Holy smokes, with gay audiences?
The gay audiences weren't always gay. It was like just this sort of mix of people.
Mixes like
always
punks?
Tourists
were
in
there
San
punks?
Francisco.
Were there punks?
No.
Okay.
There's like tourists in San Francisco. Okay. Stuff, of course.
Because it was the Castro.
The Castro. Yeah, they're all over there. And then I did this thing called the Miss Haight-Ashbury competition where it was just, I don't know, it was just this weird thing that, like, I don't know if they do these things anymore. You know, San Francisco has changed so much.
Well, is it, was it
hate, stop changing everything. Stop changing.
I mean, change does suck, sadly, inevitable. What, here's my question though, was it a beauty pageant where you?
It was a fake beauty pageant. It was mostly drag queens.
Okay.
And a couple of straight women, me and maybe a couple other people.
Okay.
And I would, that's because I did that because, it sounded fun.
Okay.
You know, and Amy Glynn booked it, and she also booked the other cafe. So I was trying to get in with Amy Glynn. So I'm like, yeah,
sure.
I'll do your
other thing.
Ashbury.
Yeah.
And I was like, 210 pounds right then. And I needed, I just was like trying to feel good about myself, you know,
okay.
and, you know, buy a nice outfit and not sweatpants and stuff like that. So I did that. And then
How'd you do?
I didn't win.
Right.
But I lip synced to some, I don't know. It was just, I just remember feeling like a very little girl. I was like 22 years old and these drag queens with their, and the makeup they were putting on and.
Pretty powerful.
And they were just a different, they were almost the word creature in a sort of, in a magnificent way,
right.
where I was like,
no, the first
who
time
you
see drag queens and you're like 22 or 23 years old, you're like, you can do what?
Yes.
You were allowed to get to.
Yeah.
I mean, it sort of blows your mind and it can open your mind to what kind of comedy you can do and what kind of art you could draw. Or, just because you're like, that's a dude who wants to dress up like Marilyn Monroe, but only half of his face, and the other half of his face is Cher. And then he turns around like Victor Victoria, because I saw Victor Victoria, the movie, and he was amazing. She was amazing, I guess, is the correct pronoun when in costume.
Sure when...
In costume,
in costume.
And she, except for that she was two people in costume. So, super she.
Well, it's weird. Like, San Francisco had that happening, and then there was also sort of a very hyper, super male energy at the Holy City Zoo.
Interesting. That is interesting because it feels like it's both nurturing, but you also did that sort of ball busting kind of road thing.
Yeah.
So it was less.
You know, like a lot of San Francisco comics came down here to LA and were, you know, kind of starting the alt scene. And I was like, no. I didn't want to do that. I've always been sort of like, I don't want to tell stories.
Right.
I'll tell jokes, and if 20 of them line up, it'll sound like a story.
Right.
But that is built joke by joke. It's not a story. And I really like,
you're a bricklayer.
I liked going on the road, and I liked driving. I loved having to do at first a half hour.
Yeah.
You know. Like, I think I said this before, like, in front of coal miners, where you're like, or copper miners at in Butte, Montana.
Yeah. One of the dumbest places I ever tried to do stand-up, and it never worked, was for 3 summers, I believe, in the late 80s, I worked in Provincetown, Massachusetts at a hot dog stand. And
how did you get out there from Wisconsin?
Well, my I lived in a women's co-op. It was a hippie skippy. Yeah, I lived in a.
I think I should have known this about you a while ago.
Well, now's the time to get. I went to the University of Wisconsin Madison, yes. And there was a university sponsored co-op.
Okay,
and it was the cheapest way to have on campus housing, and it included food. And mm-hmm. you could live there for 9 months. And I spent all 5 years of college there because I moved a lot as a child. And I will never move again if I have to not move. And so I live there. And so all of my best friends from college are from this. There was 50 women.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lottery. There were like 4 or 5 singles. And in those 5 years, I got singles twice. And,
we need anyway, singles.
Like you had to share a room. There were dorm rooms, essentially.
Okay.
And and then there were chores where you had to sign up and do chores. And if you didn't, you got fined. And my last season, my last semester's season. Yeah. My last semester's, I got fined a lot. Anyway, so a couple of the people who live there, my friend Jenny, who owns West Side Kids up in Upper West Side, owns that kids toy store.
I don't know.
On 84th and Amsterdam.
I never bought my son toys.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't need toys. Get him a book. He's reading.
He had soda cans. He could play.
Play with this rubber band, boy. And look at it. Boingy, boingy. Anyway, so her parents owned a house in Truro. So we bought a house. We bought a car for $50. We actually bought the radio in it,
mm-hmm.
and the axle broke when we got to Provincetown. And we sold the car for $1. We took the radio out, and then we were stacked like cordwood. And there were 5 of us in a 2-bedroom, 1-bedroom apartment. The first summer I lived in Provincetown, I slept in a walk-in closet that had a staircase going up, and it was like Harry Potter's closet, and the.
I don't know what you're.
Well, you asked.
I don't have an image.
I tried to do stand up because I worked at this hot dog stand and it was attached to a bar. And the bar had a band and a mm-hmm. stage. And I was like, can I do stand up? And they're like, you don't do stand up. And I was like, no, I do stand up.
You just invented stand up at this place. It wasn't already a venue?
No, it was not a venue. I was just like, I want to do stand up. And it was one of the 2 straight bars in town. And so they let me do stand up there once a summer. And it was the worst. It never ended up being very well. And I was always, I worked at a hot dog stand. You could start drinking at noon. So tequila sunrises. And then I worked at Geppetto's pizza place at night. And that was Manhattan's. And then some guy drove me home in his VW Beetle. The guy who owned it. Perfectly nice man.
Did that story end okay?
That all ended fine.
As a mother, I'm worried about you during this entire story. I'm like,
I was attacked in high school. That's when I was. That was my sexual assault. Was when I was in high school. So
another student.
No, old guys. Well,
sorry.
Hilarious podcast stories.
Yeah.
I don't have any jokes about it, but it's over now.
Yeah.
We're all happy to know. Hey, you guys, I lived.
Died, right?
They're all dead now because
Yay.
They were at least...
High five.
High five it. There we go.
Outlive your rapist.
That's a great message.
That's
the name of your book. Okay. I would like more water. So, how we doing?
God, how much further, Kyle?
We can call it. It's 57.
57.
It's good
we should
for
end
me.
On something happy. It's where are you going up this week, which will be next week?
I'm going to be in San Diego. I'm doing like little sets in San Diego here
and
there. Yeah, because I'll be at Comic-Con.
Oh, that's right. You're going to... Oh, did you get sets?
Yeah, I got a couple.
That's awesome.
One night I'll tweet them. Fucking... You're not going to go anyway.
Annie Laurie, 6 people will go.
You guys aren't going. Why am I wasting your time?
No, people will go. What are you, nuts? I'm in L.A. all next week, which is exciting
mm-hmm.
for me because I'm... or this week. And then I'm doing that Comedy and Magic. I'm going to do
one of the
Comedy and Magic sets next week.
Oh, yeah. The anniversary show.
Anniversary sets. Yeah, that'll be fun. So.
All right.
This has been fascinating, hasn't it?
Jesus. Like, we're fucking out, and we have to do a whole nother one.
Right.
Oh, all right. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.